Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I'm very pleased to have with me today two guests. One is Professor Carmen Barsalo, who is the head of the Department of Spanish here at the University, and the other is Dr. Antonio Sanchez Jimenez from the University of Amsterdam. Professor Barsalo, being an old friend of this program, is perhaps quite familiar to our listeners. However, I'm going to say a few words about Dr. Sanchez Jimenez, who is a new friend. He holds a PhD from the University of Salamanca, and another PhD from Brown University in the US. His speciality is Spanish medieval and golden age literature, in particular Lope de Vega's poetry and plays. Some of his interests are painting and literature in the golden age, El Greco, Velázquez, and also in the 20th century, of course, Salvador Dalí. He's interested in nationalism, image and perception of Spain and Latin America, which we should hopefully be talking about, surrealism, Federico García Lorca, the image of the author and literary careers, canonicity and literature and the literary market, Golden Age and the Latin American literature. As a Golden Age specialist, Dr. Sanchez Jimenez is interested in the relationship between context and literature. For example, how literature and the public image of an author interact in their poetry or prose, or how a poet's professional life might influence his or her literary works. Currently, Dr. Sanchez Jimenez is working on a book on Lope de Vega and painting, studying Lope's relationship with some of the best painters of his time. Besides this, Dr. Sanchez Jimenez has edited three works by Lope de Vega and is now working on a critical edition of Lope's Arcadia, Cátedras Letras Hispánicas, and an edition of Esquemelin's Piratas de la América. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Well, of course, it's such a huge subject, and 26 minutes is a very short time, but we'll try and cover a little bit of the areas that you are interested in. But perhaps we start off with in a general sense. What is the situation with regard to Spanish language in the world at present? A little snapshot.
Yeah, it's a very wide question. It's a very wide topic, but it's very interesting. And, Spanish is a growing reality, and it has quite the number of paradoxes in it. It is counted as the second most spoken language natively, after Chinese. And Chinese is, of course, a problem, because what we count as Chinese has a number of languages in it that are mutually not intelligible. So it could even be argued that Spanish is the most widely spoken language natively in the world. It's also the second most studied language in the world after English. So it's really a huge reality. It's growing. It's still growing. And like I said, there's also paradoxes in it. The paradox, for example, being that the country in the world with the most Spanish speakers is not Spain, but Mexico. And that the second is the U.S., you know, a country we usually associate with English, but in which, nevertheless, anybody who's been there realizes that Spanish is really a huge reality. So Spanish is a power in the world. In the European perspective, we tend to forget that, but Europe is a small part of the world.
Is there a sense in Spain of wanting, however, to still lead the development of Spanish in the world? Do people in Spain imagine that this can still be done? Isn't there an effort being made in that direction?
Indeed, there is. There are institutions in Spain and businesses that try to use the prestige of Spain to lead the Hispanic-speaking and Spanish-speaking world. So there are institutions such as the Spanish Royal Academy of the Language, the Real Academia de la Lengua Española. They produce a dictionary of Spanish, the most prestigious dictionary, and that is in Madrid, that is in Spain, and that dictionary sells, it's an automatic bestseller all over the world. They include Americanisms, I mean by that words or phrases that are used in Mexico or Paraguay or whatever, but it is a Spanish institution. The head is the king of Spain. So in a way, there is still sort of an empire in which Spain is the head. It's been called in studies a benevolent empire, as opposed to the old one. But you know, they still try to do that. And there are also other institutions, such as Instituto Cervantes, that is a promoting and teaching effort by the Spanish government. It's also centered in Spain. So therefore, the Spanish publishing business, Spanish norm giving, you know, the normative effort for the language, and even the businesses, those are based in Spain, in the Iberian Peninsula. Even though Spain, like I said, is the third language, country in the world with the most Spanish speakers, not Mexico, which is first Spain.
It may actually be useful here to extend it even further in terms of culturally as well, because one has to keep in mind that, for example, while if a movie is produced in Germany, for example, its audience is going to be limited. It's going to be limited in terms of it'll be German, it'll be Austrian, it'll be Switzerland, yeah, essentially. But anything produced in Spanish knows that it's guaranteed a market in a whole continent. So to some extent, this is one of the points I always emphasize when people talk to me about Spanish and its prospects and where it stands and so on. When you learn Spanish, you don't get an entree into Spain. You get, in fact, Spain is but the entrance to a big phenomenon, another world, in other words. You know, you have a huge market potentially, as Spanish companies have found, in Latin America. And may I add that probably one of the countries which will probably notch up most Spanish speakers very soon will be Brazil, where Spanish has now become an obligatory foreign language in the school system. So you're looking at a situation where we're not talking just of the Spanish-speaking countries of Latin America, but in Brazil itself, with Spanish having now become a compulsory second language, they have a market for thousands and thousands of teachers of Spanish, for example, over there.
They do, and they still need them, and they still need teachers of Spanish in Brazil. Now, when you ask a Japanese person, for example, why they study Spanish, they say, oh, it's Mercosur, it's a whole economic area of South America, you know, Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, which is a huge...
So we're talking economics, yeah, here. I mean...
But on a wider scale,
yes,
world scale.
Well, perhaps we can take the economics first, because obviously the cultural and the economic are obviously going to be interlinked. But we're talking... people in Spain and elsewhere appreciating the fact that learning Spanish is going to be of economic benefit.
Exactly. The publishing business we've talked about already. So Spain is the country in the world which publishes the most titles, not the most volumes of books, but yes, the most titles. That's sold in Latin America and the US. We have Spanish companies that are world companies, really, like Telefonica, the oil company of Spain, the old CAMSA, those are companies that have entered in Latin America, the banks of Spain, the Santander, Bilbao Vizcaya, etc. Those are companies that are that have entered the Latin American market, and even the U.S. market. They have a connection, an emotional connection with Latinos in the U.S. That's 46 million people. That's a huge market, many of them with a lot of buying power. They have a peculiar connection with Spain, so those people are more likely to buy Spanish products than products from England because of cultural heritage. Spain knows about it and tries to keep that connection and strengthen it.
In fact, I mean, in the U.S., we were talking about the U.S., you've got these millions of Spanish, yeah, speakers who, many of them speak as a first language,
yeah, exactly,
really, and they have the Spanish communities, etc. So advertising for them,
yeah,
would be a great money spinner.
It is. It's really amazing. They have many, many channels that are Pan-American, that are set in Miami or in L.A., in Los Angeles, and that produce for the whole of Latin America, and they have a huge, it's a huge audience, and for people, they buy all sorts of things. When I watch my football, for example, in the Netherlands, I rather listen to the Spanish. It's a channel from Miami that I'm using. So it's really it's amazing. It is the language of the Americas, more so than English, because you can get by in the US with Spanish. You cannot get by with English in Peru. So you can cross the continent, really, the three continents, whichever you count it, with the Spanish language. It's written everywhere. If you go to the US in the bus, they'll have the instructions in Spanish, apart from in English. And they have Hispanic communities in places you would have never thought of, like the Dakotas or mm-hmm. the Carolinas. It's not just the old parts of Mexico, you know, like California, New Mexico, Texas, or places linked with Puerto Rico, such as New York. It's everywhere. It grows.
Well, even for example, I go through Frankfurt Airport often, and the signs normally would be in English, French, and Spanish. Normally.
Yeah, that is a reality that I think has to change, because I realize in many European countries, the languages are English, French, German, you know, and Spanish is not there. Sometimes you even see Italian.
No,
it is changing.
Depends, it varies, because in France, definitely, Spanish is the, after English, it's the second most important foreign language.
So these institutions in Spain are actually exporting their expertise in the language teaching, particularly. I mean, the British and the French have been doing this,
yes.
of course, for decades,
yeah.
not to say centuries.
Yeah.
But Spain seems to have jumped on this bandwagon a bit late in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the institutions that the Spanish government has is Instituto Cervantes. It's an equivalent to the Alliance Française and to the British Council and to the Goethe Institute. In Germany. So it is an institution for the promotion of the culture and for the teaching of the Spanish language. The difference is, like you said, and like we were speaking about before this recording, was that the Alliance Française has been existing for more than a century, and the British Council too. These institutions were created to defend a frontier that is, so the French realized at the end of the 19th century. The French was losing its importance worldwide, and they created this institution to promote it, because there is money to be made from prestige and from language. Spain has only started in 92. It is yesterday. It's really very recently. Nevertheless, it's ever growing. Again, Instituto Cervantes, and Spain is now in economic crisis. Has been for 3 years or two and a half years. It is the only part of the Spanish government that keeps on having a higher budget every year. So everything everywhere in education everywhere in Spain has cuts. Not there, not the Instituto Cervantes. That is for several reasons. One, because there's really a lot of terrain to be gained that was before. You know, it's the language, the reality of the Spanish language is far broader than what institutions can cover. That is one reason, so we are behind. The second reason is that there's money to be made. There's all these studies by the Banco Santander and the Viva Vizcaya Spanish government about the economic value of Spanish as language. For example, 500,000 people visit Spain every year just to learn the language. And that is, of course, huge. It's a sort of language tourism like the British have had for so many years, and now it's reaching Spain and people are beginning to use it. So Spanish is used to access world markets, and of course there's a market for Spanish teachers all over Europe, and we're still in the beginning of it, and it keeps on growing.
We've been talking about the language and obviously learning the language itself, but as anybody who's learned a language beyond childhood will know, that learning a language also brings with it baggage and responsibilities, in the sense that you take on something of the country itself, and there's going to be this parallel boom, if you like. If there's a boom in the language as a tool, there's also going to be hopefully a boom in the cultural knowledge about Spain as well. Is that true or not?
Yes, very much so. I think you really hit the nail on the head with this one, because one of the things about Spanish is that to some extent a lot of people learn the language because they're attracted to the culture rather than vice versa, believe it or not. You know, you ask people for the name of a Spanish or Hispanic sort of actor or singer, and they can easily come up with something. Can you come up with a German actor?
Not off the top of my head, no.
But so whether it's music, films, as you know, Almodovar has figured prominently as far as Hollywood is concerned, and some very good people over there now. Amenábar is very popular. So a lot of people are attracted to things Hispanic. I won't even start telling you about how many people are interested in flamenco on the island, as you know. I mean, you find some really interesting sort of situations, emergence of there's more people who dance flamenco in Japan than in Spain, for example. It's one of these. It's this, that sort of thing. There is something about the culture with a small C, which attracts people to Spain and things Hispanic. And subsequently, they take up the language very often, you know. And I'm not even talking about the tortilla or the sangria or the paella or this, that, or the
culinary
other.
Culinary skills.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, these things are important because one must keep in mind and not lose sight of the fact that people in the West particularly have a lot of disposable income and a lot of time for what you might call leisure activities. People spend a lot of time with holidays. People spend a lot of time in cultivating a pastime or an interest in something. So often, very often, you find that the things Hispanics strike a chord with them. They really sort of, particularly for Malta, I can tell you, I mean, now, especially with the present ambassador who's been, we've had all sort of situations. You know how keen we are on fireworks. We've had exchanges with Spain, with sort of fireworks, sort of exhibitions, so on, bands. The Spanish ambassador has incorporated the local band of Lía or Balzan in all her annual activities. Keeping in mind that most of the music that our bands in Malta play are actually pasodobles. They're actually of Spanish origin. So there's a lot of this sort of thing. There's a lot that people in Malta. Going back to the beginning of the program, there was mention of this question. Antonio was making reference to the question of Chinese and Spanish being the second language. Some people will react to that and say, yeah, but what about, for example, you know, Hindustani? I mean, there's lots of Indians and so on. But one has got to keep something firmly in mind. Italian, for example, figures very prominently here, but as Antonio will tell you, he has functioned in the United States and on the continent, Italian beyond Italy doesn't really count for a great deal. Because of historical reasons, a lot of people learn it here. But if you're going to learn a language, might as well learn something whose usefulness goes well beyond the peninsula up the road from us. And this is what happens.
I hope nobody from the Italian department is listening.
No, this is something I tell them straight in their faces. I don't go around telling things behind people's backs. So this is the reality of it. And hopefully, as we're sort of picking up with the department and so on, we had a good turnout this year.
What's going on here?
Yes,
it's going
very well, I think. I mean, considering the base, the population, so to speak, with which do we have to work, namely the people who study Spanish in the schools, the number of SEC sort of candidates who sit for SEC for the secondary education certificate is around in the 250 region. I mean, in contrast to the thousands who do Italian, to the thousands who do English, mm-hmm. and to the thousands who do French. So we have a very small base to build on, but nevertheless, we actually not doing too badly considering, you know, what a small base we have. And hopefully in the future it will get better. We have a PGCS from this year. We have the BA honors from this year. People are deadly keen. Antonio's just been looking at our program. He's been telling me about the things we have they don't have. He didn't tell me yet the things they have that we don't have, but we'll get around to that
eventually. Come later.
But he was saying that basically he seems to feel that we offer a good, broadly based kind of BA which does not deal with just Spanish literature but deals with a lot of South American and basically, you know, Hispanic studies rather than just Spain. So we cover a lot of areas. We don't cover just language and literature, which are the core, obviously, of our course. He saw the film. Yeah. We have the history. Music. We have the music. We have, you know, we have a lot of the art. We have a lot of things that other BAs in traditional BAs in Italian and French don't offer. So we're the new kids on the block, so we don't have anything to lose. We can only gain.
Yeah, and sometimes when you don't have legacy, it's almost more easy to move forward.
Yes,
and certainly
definitely.
Malta should have an affinity culturally with Spain, even historically.
Well, of course. I mean, we'd be speaking Turkish here were it not for Carlos Quinto. I mean, because had we not been sent a relief kind of contingent from Sicily up the road. And some people say I'm a little bit late, but it was enough to make them go away. And
here we are.
Here we are today, as they say.
Dr. Sanchez Jimenez, the image of Spain in the world. We've been talking about this culture, and of course, Professor Vassallo always waxes very enthusiastic about Spain, about Spanish, and I know very little. So Spanish, I know absolutely nothing at all, and probably very little about the history as well. But every time I speak to him, I start getting enthusiastic about it. It's catching. It will be interesting to look at sort of how Spain is perceived in the wide world, really.
Yeah. Spain and the Hispanics and the Hispanic world in general, we've been talking about all the positive things, and it is great. It is ever growing. It is what people think of when they think about leisure, about holidays. Let's go to Peru, let's go to Latin America, let's go to Spain. The challenge that we have for the future is to convert that to a more prestigious image too. So the image of Spain now for vacations is more beach and paella and sangria than a cultural outing. The cultural outing would be Italy or France or whatever, but not Spain. And the same goes for Latin America. When we think about a Latin American person, we think about, Shakira or whatever.
Nothing wrong with Shakira.
You will not catch me saying anything as Shakira. Great. Right? But it's usually what Professor Vassallo was saying before. That it's usually culture with a small C, with a not high culture. That the French still have a monopoly.
They invest a lot of time and effort.
Yeah, but that's what they have. They only we could say their future is not there. So they're holding on to a niche, to a small part. So the challenge, part of what the institutions in Spain and part of what the governments of Latin America are trying to do is also to promote that. Yes, there is culture with a capital C also, apart from Shakira and all these films and all these great things. There's also science. And I was talking to the director of the Cervantes Institute in Utrecht in the Netherlands last week, and she was telling me we have to do something about the perception of Spanish Hispanic science. Nobody knows anything about it, and yet the Spanish government spends a lot of money on scientific endeavors, and there's been, of course, traditionally a great number of achievements, but nobody knows about that. Seems to be the monopoly of England and the U.S. Mm-hmm. So generally, I would say the image of Spain is linked to the image of Southern Europe as a whole. It's, Catholic,
a little fun, bit behind.
Yeah, fun loving, they love life, that's the topic, but a little bit behind, a little. It's good for holidays, not for business. Mm. That's not true anymore. It's never been true, I would say. But so that is one of
perceptions.
It's
a bit of PR work that has to be done. Perhaps.
Yeah, and that's why they've realized that this PR work pays off. We were speaking about France, and that's why, like I said, the Instituto Cervantes is the only part of the Spanish government that keeps on receiving more funding.
Perception and also first-hand contact. I find this because I know a lot of people in the Chamber of Commerce here. I've had dealings with them. I've written the history of the chamber, and in conversations, those of them who have had dealings with Spanish companies find them good, solid, reliable people.
No, I didn't know that.
To be distinguished from others. First of all, obviously, even Spain is in itself, even by European standards, I'm even talking of the Americas now, is a big state. And what you might call the mañana or siesta image is dominated by what you might call, as you were saying, the southern kind of holiday focus. But anybody who works with I'm not throwing in a bad light onto the South, but anybody who has worked with basically where the industry is, where manufacturing is, where services are mostly based, in the Basque Country, in Catalonia, mm-hmm. know that people who sort of commit themselves to deliver will deliver. Something which cannot be said about everybody.
Perhaps one of the cultural things that has come across very much in these last 20 years are South American writers writing in Spanish. I think there are some names that have come out that have become... Okay, people are reading them in English very often, or even in Italian, but they still are... They've got a very good press.
Yeah, they do. It is also a very big business, of course, the business of writing in Latin America. It's a business that's centered in Spain, in Barcelona, still. So they're still the publishers of Vargas Llosa, for example, last Nobel Prize. It's still a Spanish publishing business. That is one of the good things that comes out of the interest in Spanish. It's nevertheless linked to the economics, always. I suspect, I can prove it, of course. I mean, the first big wave of Latin American writers was linked to the interest in Latin America, triggered by Cuba, by the Cuban Revolution. People were all of a sudden discovering there's a continent that exists, that has a mind of its own. It's a whole culture. You know, why did Castro happen? So people start investigating, and all these writers come up, they discover them, and they find them good. I suspect and I hope that the same will happen with Venezuela and Chavez. And so it's a big country, Venezuela, again, very important, great culture. Important now economically because of its oil and because of its resistance to another way of organizing the economy, the U.S. One. I suspect that this new interest in Latin America is triggered by Chavez, and that has indirectly benefited Vargas Llosa, so the writing of Latin America again. So it is, there's always a link between the economics, culture with a capital C, and then out of that will always come some culture with a high C, that, you know, these great books that would be read in China or in South Africa, that come out of Peru or Venezuela or whatever.
Well, that's wonderful. Unfortunately, our time is finished already. Yeah. I'd like to thank Professor Carmel Vassallo
and
Dr. Sanchez Jimenez for coming on the program today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.